There are reports of women, of children who are among the dead. It is appearing to be a high civilian death toll. Would there have been a warning to those civilians for them to get out on time?
Of course, we cannot anticipate Israel to be warning ahead of a raid to extract or to save hostages, because then what the terrorists would do is to kill the hostages, and that would defeat the purpose. So, of course, we cannot expect that. Yes, I agree with you that we do not know for certain that all of the people who may have died today were directly related to the effort to jail and hold Israeli civilians in Gaza for 8 months. There was a significant firefight. According to testimony of Israeli soldiers, there were RPG rockets, heavy machine gun fire, grenades being thrown. And I think we cannot rule out that at least some of the alleged Palestinian casualties were a result of a reckless Palestinian fire. They may have been a result of Israeli fire. We don't know. But the bottom line here, what I think is the most important thing, is that, again, just like we saw in Rafah about 3 months ago, Israeli civilians were held hostage by Palestinian civilians. There were Hamas armed gunmen guarding as well. But the bottom line was that we have complicity of Palestinian civilians.
I'm just tired of the reaction that people are having over Israel going in and getting out their people. Really tired of some of the stuff I'm hearing with that. They went in. I was listening to a description, and it was the hostages that they went and they rescued had been kept in an area where they had refugees, and they were in people's homes. They were in people's houses. Yeah, that's what Hamas does. I mean, and they said that every single one of the hostages that they had rescued, they were in the homes of these Hamas members. And it's pretty stunning to me that you can sit here and act like it's a bad thing that they went in and rescued these people, because they were saying, well, how many innocent people had to die? Well, why were innocent people keeping hostages in their innocent little homes? I mean, keep in mind, and we've talked about this, Six Ways to Sunday, you know, this is a group that has been popularly supported for eons by, you know, these people. And so it's not, you know, I mean, it's not beyond the realm of comprehension that, you know, they're going to be pretty sympathetic to them. Welcome to the program. Dana Lash here with you. We're going to get everything started, get you set up for this week, because we got the Hunter Biden trial that's still ongoing as well. And I think that they're getting ready to rest in this ongoing thing. This trial, they had his family in there, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But they have been, it's been a very interesting trial, because the family's been in there. They've had the parade of baby mamas and everything else. Everybody else go in. It's been kind of interesting. So we're going to follow that because I think that I don't know how soon they're going to have a decision. We also we're in SCOTUS season. So we have a lot of SCOTUS activity as well happening that we're going to follow and keep up with for you on that. And just the latest with Israel and all that stuff. So we're going to get into all of it. Welcome to the radio program. You can listen across the country. And as we do all of this, of course, we're starting with, I think, some of the reaction with, and Dana Lash with you, by the way, if you're just joining, the raid that the IDF did. First off, don't hold hostages in an area where refugees are, and then it won't get raided. Pretty damn simple, right? Why are we having this conversation still? God help me. I literally would rather jump off a roof and break my legs into nubbins than sit here and explain to people why it's necessary to use whatever force possible to get your innocent citizens back. I don't care what they say. 200, there were 200 some odd people that were killed. So it's not our fault that they supported terrorists, and it's not our fault that terrorists went in and kidnapped innocent people and then took them, and then regular people decided to hold them in their houses. Do you people not understand what war is? Do you not understand that when people like I and others explain over and over again that it should always be as a last result, that we mean that, because this kind of stuff will happen. Innocents will be caught in the crosshairs in any kind of conflict. And I feel like the people who constantly, you know, they ignore every off-ramp on the road to war don't understand this. They don't understand it. So they have their special forces rescue in these raids for innocent people. Oh my gosh, did you hear the one story? One of the hostages that was rescued right as they went to the dad's house, his father's house, to tell him that his son had been saved, that the dad had fallen, had like a heart attack, a massive heart attack before they got there and it was dead. They found him when they went to go inform him that they found their son. I mean, it's just the saddest. Oh my gosh, it's heartbreaking. So they had some video camera footage of some of this, this footage that emerged of them going in there. And one of the people that, and Jennifer Van Laar had this story, one of the individuals that was holding some of these hostages, had three specific hostages in his home, worked for a U.S.-based nonprofit. He was a quote-unquote journalist, and he was killed in these raids, and he had hostages in his house. How do you have hostages in your house? You're supposed to be a journalist. You get money from a U.S.-based nonprofit. How do you have... That's crazy. So they... And we've talked about that before, though. Remember the other... The previous journalists that had... they were on video, apparently, like, supporting Hamas. And, like, how did they know all this stuff? And how were they right? Like, one guy was, like, riding on the back of a motorcycle holding a rocket. Pretty unbelievable. So this is... what the world woke up to, and the world condemning Israel for doing it. Imagine somebody's kidnapped members of your family, and you're fighting and doing everything possible to get them back, and the world's criticizing you for it. That's what's happening here. So they have every right to do it. I want to rewind a couple of weeks. You remember the story of George Clooney and Amal Clooney, and how Amal Clooney was part of the legal outfit that had recommended a warrant for the arrest of Benjamin Netanyahu and some of these other Israeli leaders. Well, now, apparently, George Clooney is furious, and he demanded that the White House, he called the White House to blast Biden, according to Daily Wire, for calling his wife's arrest warrant outrageous. George Clooney needs to seriously stop. He was very, very upset that people were criticizing his wife. His wife, by the way, who is still a junior partner and has never led on a case. I mean, that's fine if you want to sit here and act like somebody's very... I wrote a piece on this. If you want to act like somebody's very accomplished, that's great. There are a lot of really great female lawyers out there that can fit that bill. But someone who's still a junior partner in her 40s, mid to late 40s, and that's her choice, that's fine. But started out in entertainment law and only moved to jurisprudence later. I feel like she's overblown because she's George Clooney's wife, but he's very, very upset. So that was, he was blasting Biden and very upset with the White House. He was leading fundraisers for Joe Biden. So you made your bed, lie in it. This is all stupid. It shocks me that people are outraged. Nobody's talking about the American hostages that are still in Hamas custody, that have been kidnapped and are still being held by Hamas. Nobody's talked about that. Everybody's so upset because there's 200 some odd. What did they say? The people sounded like they were. A lot of people were aiding Hamas. If I'm being honest about it, and I think that everybody, you know, we'd all would agree. This though, getting into some of this, that Blinken's going over there because apparently. Antony Blinken's, we got stuff with Ukraine, we got stuff with Israel, we got stuff with Russia. I wanted to look at some of these audio sound bites that I want to make sure that we're playing as well. Because this was outside of the White House also over the weekend, all of these protests that were taking place. I would call it a coup. Audio sound bite 14.
Dictator do genocide, Joe! Tens of thousands of Palestinians!
They were calling Joe Biden a dictator. They were calling Joe Biden a dictator outside of one of these protests outside of the White House. It's pretty wild. The stuff that was happening, and this was one of the speeches that he was giving, one of the fundraisers that he was giving, Democrat Party, and they were, "You're a dictator, genocide, Joe." Audio soundbite 15. when Kamala Harris was in Michigan, because they've been doing a lot of stuff with Michigan. They're trying to keep Michigan. It's part of their blue wall. Audio Soundbite 15, she gets interrupted by a pro-Hamas. I don't even call them protesters anymore. I mean, if you're a pro-Hamas and you're defending Hamas, I feel like, you know, you're kind of terrorist adjacent. Audio Soundbite 15.
Biden and I have been working every day to bring this conflict. I'm speaking right now, and I value and respect your voice, but I'm speaking right now.
Wow.
We have been working every day to bring this.
Well, you created this problem. You created this situation, though. I mean, why are you shocked about any of this stuff? I mean, when you are allowing people to run rampant and you've essentially been weaponizing this sentiment and using it as a get out the vote mechanism, when people are starting to interrupt you at your speeches, you can't be entirely shocked over this. That's, you know, well, they had people that were protesting. And I call it a coup because that's what I've been informed that this stuff is. It was near the White House. There's a lot of coverage of it over the weekend. Statues were vandalized. They were demanding that Biden cut military aid to Israel. They wanted a ceasefire in Gaza. Not a single person said anything about the American hostages that have been in Hamas custody. Julio Rosas was there. He posted video showing people screaming at the police. They were just being violent. People were saying jihad victory or martyrdom, which doesn't sound like a peaceful slogan. That doesn't sound like a peaceful anything. People were saying blank the police. There was a lot of Hamas flags that were there. A lot of Hamas propaganda. They were surrounding and resisting police when police were trying to disperse the crowd because they were riling each other up and they were committing vandalism. And that's not a protected form of protest. The vandalism, this is at Lafayette Park. This is like right across where leftists had protested when Trump was in the White House. And remember, they were trying to burn down a park as well. They finally were dispersed. I don't think there were any arrests actually made, though. I don't think there were actually any arrests made. They had the Code Pink people there. Of course, they're always at these events. But the language, the vandalism, I was told that this stuff is tantamount to a coup. That's what I was told. But the sentiment, and then of course, fueled further, they're reacting to the IDF having to save these hostages because Hamas wasn't interested in, they're not interested in any kind of ceasefire. They're not interested in any kind of negotiation. Apparently our own president isn't either. That's why we got American hostages still over there. We have a lot more to get into, not just this, but we're watching this Hunter Biden trial. We'll get some policy issue because it's SCOTUS season. We're going to get into all of that. We got AI, we got some tech, a bunch of stuff as we move. Caltech, American made, born and raised in Florida, the brainchild of inventor, mad scientist, etc. George Kellgren, he immigrated over here from Sweden, went to Florida, went to the beautiful Sunshine State and created an awesome American company. They employ a lot of veterans and they just have a lot of fun with the stuff that they create. And Caltech, it's a family-run company, family-owned and family-ran, a very innovative creator of pistols, rifles, shotguns, all kinds of accessories and gear. I've been telling you about the new Sub-2K, the Gen 3 version, light, foldable, effective. You don't have to detach your favorite optics to fold it in half. Ambidextrous bolt hole open. They've added a couple of, they've reconfigured a few things, including a redesigned operating handle, lightened action for easy racking, nice light 5-pound trigger pull, and all made in America, family-owned values at their best. See everything that Caltech has to offer for yourself. Visit their website, KeltechWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C, weapons.com. Follow them on social media as well and tell them Dana sent you.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
First responders have reported a spike in 911 calls linked to hallucinogenic mushrooms. It's in Hawaii. They said Honolulu emergency workers are warning the public about the dangers of consuming wild mushrooms because apparently, guys, people are out hiking in Hawaii and they're looking at these mushrooms like, oh, this looks tasty. And they think it's a little trail snack and they're eating it and then they're tripping beans and they don't understand what's happening. Just stop eating the stuff you find in the woods. Just stop it. They said in April, there was someone who ate, they were hiking and they ate I could do a whole segment on this. They ate a mushroom and then they started freaking out because they were hallucinating and they had to go and get them. There was another hiker last month that had to be airlifted. And they said that people are just, they're losing their minds. So stop eating this. Stop it. Stop eating the stuff, the flora and the fauna. I just didn't think that people had to be told that. Like, if you're out there hiking already, shouldn't you know? I mean, you've gone to REI, you've overpaid for like outside accessories. So shouldn't this, you like know at least this? Cities are seizing illegal mopeds and scooters amidst a backlash against food delivery drivers. These people who are complaining about the food delivery drivers wouldn't last a day in Italy. They said that the soaring demand for delivery food, there's a small army of couriers where scooters, motorcycles, and mopeds are zipping in and out of traffic, hopping onto sidewalks, dropping off salads and sandwiches. Look, I feel like I was baptized by fire when we were on vacation in Italy because those people do not care. The roads are a suggestion. Traffic signals are merely just, you know, ideas. Nobody cares. It's just I watched a woman almost die on her little moped and zipping around. They all do that. It's crazy. They said that pedestrians are terrorized, but you know what? Bicyclists are worse. I said it. I will fight on that hill. It's true. It's absolutely true. This is really sad. A TV doctor was tragically confirmed dead by his family after his body was discovered behind a coastal bar on a Greek island. So he and his wife, he works over at Daily Mail, Dr. Michael Mosley. I'm not very familiar with him, but he was, I guess his wife was at the hotel and he went out hiking and he took a wrong turn and fell. That's so sad. Stick with us. We got a lot more in store. So set immigration politics aside for a moment. New diseases are entering through U.S. borders and infections. The University of Nebraska's Med Center has been tracking it. USA Today has written about it. All kinds of infections, diseases. Plus, you remember the medication shortages during COVID? And remember not being able to see a doctor and long lines at the ER? So my advice is to prepare for the next disease or infection. Get out in front of it. Order a medical emergency kit from the Wellness Company. Now, it's not a first aid kit. It's like having an urgent care in your house with essential prescriptions. And it comes with doctor-prescribed meds to treat over 39 different medical issues. And these are strong antibiotics for infections of all type, like strep throat, pneumonia, UTIs, bronchitis, so much more. Plus, there's an easy doctor's guide you can follow, so you'll know exactly when and how to use it without a trip to the doctor or the hospital or the pharmacy. Every home should have at least one medical emergency kit. Order yours online in minutes and your kit will be rushed to your door. Get 15% off at twc.health/Dana and use promo code Dana. That's promo code Dana at twc.health/Dana.
Looking for the drive-through version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
What do you think of President Biden?
Biden? I love Biden.
Why do you love Biden?
Because Biden we love.
Why do you love him?
Biden help us.
I mean, people are coming in across the border and they're like, we like us and Biden because, you know, we're able to come across the border illegally. And meanwhile, everyone else who like followed the law, checked all the boxes. I'd imagine that they're not feeling too hot about that right now. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. Check out the simulcast, Channel 347, DirecTV, Rumble, everywhere else.
That wasn't an American?
No. Huh. No. No. I mean, it doesn't matter anymore. It's just everything's just, you know, we're just going to pretend we don't have a southern border. We're just going to pretend. That's what we're going to do. I don't know if you saw this from Josh Hawley. He had noted this, Senator Josh Hawley from Bill Malugin, that, you know, that we were talking about that Border Patrol memo that they sent out and how with this is as it all relates to Biden's executive order. And they said that even after his order took effect, that Border Patrol was being instructed to release single adults from all but six countries in the Eastern Hemisphere, and they classified them as either, quote, hard or very hard to remove. And they said the memo instructs agents to process all single adults from 100-plus countries in the Eastern Hemisphere as either NTA or OR, meaning notice to appear or release on own recognizance, except for six countries, which were a mandatory referral. And they said that the promise of consequences and removal, they said that people are still being released in the U.S. regardless of that. So essentially, there's literally, I mean, he's not doing anything. They're telling the Border Patrol, the executive order that we just did, ignore it and just let people in anyway. That's what he's telling them with all of this. They said and there's screenshots of it. Family units, single adults or very hard to remove countries, unaccompanied kids. And they said it's noted as keep this reference for the presidential proclamation. So it's still catch and release, catch and release, catch and release. That's the only process that they have. That's all that they're doing. It was never designed to work. His executive order on the border was never designed to work. Come on. It was never the point. It was just optics so he could make it look like he was doing something. He could satiate the concerns of those moderate Democrats or those border Democrats, people like Henry Cuellar and others. So it was never going to do anything. You knew it was never going to do anything. It was never, ever going to have any at all whatsoever impact because it wasn't designed to. This was set up to fail from the get-go. They never had any intention of allowing this to be a thing, of allowing Border Patrol to deport anyone. So again, to recap, they sent out a memo, look, all this stuff we're going to do. And then they sent out another memo, hey, ignore the first memo, ignore the proclamation, the EO, this is all we're going to do. Catch and release. I feel like we as Americans then, if the administration's going to choose which laws to follow and which laws to not follow, I would very much love to also choose which laws to follow and which laws to not follow. I mean, it's going to be very different than what, the admin probably would select, but that's kind of what, kind of how I'm looking at it. It's just this wild. And the number of people, and they're all dudes, again, that hasn't changed. I'm not telling you anything new. You know this. It's still all dudes. They said that the memo that for this, I guess, clarification on the executive order was sent specifically to the San Diego sector. So the deluge has shifted. Everybody was coming in from Texas and Arizona. Now as these governors are doing everything that they can to be super strict with it, now it's all shifting to California. But hey, isn't that what California wanted? Right? That's what they wanted, right? They wanted all that stuff. People are dropping them off in San Diego at different bus stations. And when they say removal proceedings, that's just a future court date. That's the only consequence. And then even then, what was the percentage on that? Like it was over 80-something percent. That's not even followed through. Not even followed through. I don't know. But that's law and order. Just like it was law and order how there weren't really any arrests at the protest that took place on Saturday at Lafayette Park in D.C. Julio Rosas noted that there was a severe shortage of U.S. Park police officers and that prevented safe and effective policing. And that the U.S. Park Police, they said that they only had 71 officers assigned to a protest that had over 9,000 people and that the Park Police command staff did not allow officers to wear any kind of riot gear. So there were projectiles, there was vandalism, there was violence, and then that was okay. Because there's a couple of ways to look at it. Do you think that they were keeping the Park Police away from that protest because they did not want the Park Police to be injured, or were they keeping the Park Police away from that protest so that they could let the progressive terror babies riot without being interrupted?
I think it's the latter.
You think it's the latter one?
Yep.
And that it wasn't, they were trying to, where was the mayor at? Oh, because weren't they having also the pride stuff? Was she waving rainbow flags somewhere, wasn't she?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Muriel Bowser, as it were. Law and order, guys. Law and order. Can I switch it up and tell you about... I can't believe I'm sharing this story with you. I don't want to share it. It's a culture story. You know which one I'm going to. I saw this over the weekend. Because, you know, it's... We only get one day for D-Day to observe that. Now get over it. You get the whole month for how people get it out. A top cancer charity apologized for using the word cervix instead of trans-friendly front hole. A top cancer charity. It's the Canadian Cancer Society. The Canadian Cancer Society. They have a webpage that's about cervical cancer. And the cervical part of the cervical cancer apparently made the trans Tifa mad. And they said that that many non-binary people have mixed feelings and they feel distance from that term. And so they apologized for it. And they said that they recognize the limitations of the words that we've used, and they were sorry that they didn't use the words front hole. This is literally what they posted. Quote, "We recognize that many trans men and non-binary people may have mixed feelings about or feel distanced from words like cervix. You may prefer other words such as front hole. We recognize the limitations of the words that we've used while also acknowledging the need for simplicity. Another reason we use words like cervix is to normalize the reality that men can have these body parts too." You stop being a health anything. They don't have cervixes because they're men. Front hole? I will punch you in your front hole. Front hole? Really? That's where we're at?
We need to consult the FCC. Can we even say?
I just said it.
I know. That's what I'm saying. We should probably stop saying it, but I mean.
Front hole.
I'm just hoping you'll stop saying it. Now you're mouthing it.
Runfei olhei.
But I'm going to have to reach out to the FCC and see what that's about.
Yeah, I don't. If anybody wants to report us on that, they can. We'll stick our boot in their front hole. How about that?
No. But in what world is the term front hole friendly to any group, let alone the trans group?
This is like Idiocracy. Can you imagine going to the doctor? Yeah, I need. Why are you here? I'm here because I need to look at my front hole.
You tell people, like, shut your pie hole. Like, it's not a. It's
a
not
hole
a term,
specifically for pie.
Right. It's not like, hey, we're trying to be friendly with this language.
That sounds like confusing. You know how many front holes there are? You got three of them on your face. Actually, five. But, you know, you have five holes on your face alone.
Really thought we could conclude.
It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. No.
Not happening.
No, this is what they wanted, Kane. Oh. So we're going to engage. And we are going to just absurdity all the way. Full on absurdity. Crank it to 11. Goes to 11, you know, it's one louder.
I can just text the FCC.
They said that they recognize the limitations of words. You mean limitations of words because they're limited in that you don't have it? That? Like, what, you feel distance from words like cervix? Yeah, you should, because it's really far away from you, as in not a part of your person. It's not. But it's a, guys, it's a the Canadian Cancer Society. Canadian Cancer Society. And they're posting stuff like this and apologizing for it. Again, how would you feel comfortable if you went in to get a checkup or something and your doctor was like, yeah, you know, we're going to go ahead and do an examination of your front hole. And you'd be like, what? What are you talking about? Yeah, because it sounds very scientific-y, right? Much anatomy. Right. Yeah, it's your front hole. And then we're going to look at your side holes here. Your ears, I guess. Going to look at your side holes. We're also going to take a peek at your food hole. Two. Well, here, all the holes. We're the hole doctor. Oh. It's the hole doctor, right? Yeah. I'm just saying, that's, do you know how dumb that sounds? That's like Idiocracy levels of stupid. We're not even going to say specific things. Do you also realize how that diminishes the very thing that they claim that they're trying to raise advocacy for? Not only do men not have cervixes, men cannot get cervical cancer. To pretend that a man who does not have a cervix can get cervical cancer is stupid. To have a woman who claims that she's a man, but hey, she's got this thing here too, that means you're still a woman. You're always going to be a woman. You're, everything about you is woman. You can, in your mind, pretend you're a dude all day long. And normally, I would not have a problem with that because I don't care. I'm not Jesus. I don't have a heart for people. I don't care enough, right? I just don't. I try, but I don't. I don't care what you do. But the moment you start telling me to use words like front hole and you downplay the advocacy of a very serious disease, that's when it gets personal. And that's, I think women have every right to get mad about that. I can't believe that they actually felt that they had to post it, which means that they obviously got enough pushback to apparently make them feel like they had to post something about it. This is insane. They're making women a joke. I mean, it's cervix. It's not a hole. You realize this, right? It's like a hole, right? People know this. It's an entire thing. Oh my gosh. To just say, well, it's Cain. I don't even want to explain to you about neocervixes and where they come from. Yeah, it's like a Franken cervix.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And where they come from?
Yeah, it's a lab made.
It's not from like a pig or something?
No, they, you know how like Charlie Brown did that little Christmas tree?
Right.
So they have doctors come in and take male copulatory organ skin and Frankenstein you want to.
All right. I have never wanted commercials more than
commercials. No, right, this now is how, this is our science now, guys. This is science
and
now.
I'm texting the FCC to see if we.
Are you literally snitching on me?
I want to see if we broke any rules.
Oh my gosh. Wait, that's not how this works.
It feels like
you
it
wait
to me
for someone to snitch on you. You don't snitch on
it
yourself.
Feels like.
Golly.
Did something wrong this segment.
You know, go tell Pam in HR. Go tell her.
No.
You go and tell her.
Never talk to HR.
She's like a troll cave. You know that? Like, you got to pay the troll toll just to get in to see Pam and HR. All right, as we move our partners who help bring you free radio, it's the veterans at Black Rifle Coffee. This is a veteran-owned, veteran-run coffee business. And I'm going to just tell you right now, the mainstream coffee people hate them. I think that there's been an effort underway to kind of take them out by Big Coffee. I'm not even joking, because they're mainstreaming love of country, support of first responders, 2A rights, and just good, affordable coffee. You don't have to pay an arm and a leg to have good coffee. And that's what Black Rifle Coffee believes. And that's what they produce. They get the best beans. They roast them 5 days a week at their facilities in Tennessee and Utah. They hire active duty and retired veterans. And everything from the roast to the bag art, everything pays homage to American culture and our military history. This is premium coffee for people who love America. They have the best. This is the best coffee. I will not drink any other swill. When I travel, I literally will not drink other coffee. I'm not even joking you. I'm an absolute horror to deal with. I'm a brat. I'm a nightmare. I will only drink this because everything else tastes horrible compared to it. They have all kinds. They have ground. They have K cups. They have whole bean ready to drink. I just tried one of their iced coffees. You know, I'm literally like this years old and I've only had two iced coffees in my life. And one of them was theirs and it was one of the best things I've ever had. I always thought it was too fruity. You know what I mean? Like with a skirt. It's actually delicious. So try it for yourself. All the coffees at blackriflecoffee.com. Join the coffee club. When you sign up, you're going to get free shipping to your house on whatever you want, whatever coffee you want, how often you want it delivered. Save 20% with code Dana. Blackriflecoffee.com.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
The first trans woman to have a successful uterus transplant, ovaries and eggs included.
Why does he look like a young
man? And kid? I want to be the first trans woman to have an abortion. I will let a doctor who has successfully transplanted a uterine complex before cut the organs out of a willing, healthy, transmasculine donor, place them in my body. I will devote myself, heart and soul, to their aftercare. I will have as much gay sex as it takes with as many trans women as it takes and let the transphobes and homophobes scratch their heads wondering what to make of it.
Hell is empty and all the devils are here. Quote Shakespeare. That's what a demon looks like. That dude is a straight up demon. There's another D involved in there because that's a dude. That's a dude. You're demonic. If your obsession, see, this is like, it's all, this is all just like posture for trans Tifa. So he wants a uterus just so he can kill a baby.
Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh. I can't even, I would bet that he wouldn't do it because the amount of surgery that you would need and the pain, and first off the viability and whether it would even work. Again, this is, you know, Frankenstein's monster. Mary Shelley explored this once already. There was a point to that story. It wasn't just a sci-fi escapist, you know, novel. There's a point to it. I feel like a lot of people just missed it. Like that dude. That's demonic, though. That's absolute. That dude is, well, pun intended, is nuts. Completely. So what we got coming up for you? I got some very, it's very interesting news, good news. I've been watching the EU elections, and we've talked about this a little bit here and there because I have been wondering, you see the stories about the farmers, whether it's, you know, in you know, the Dutch farmers and or in France, and people done with the regulations and restrictions of the EU. Sweeping elections took place. And it looks like conservatives have won in a number of areas. Is it the dawning of a new Europe and how it affects the U.S.? We'll talk. Stick with us. As we move, our partners that help bring you free radio, it's our friends over at Patriot Mobile, the only Christian conservative cell phone provider that is out there. And this is important because I can't tell you how many of all of these other phone companies, they all have these, you know, little political things that they donate to, they give money to. These are the groups that go and try to wage war on you at the school board. They push DEI on your kids. They push gun control on you and try to abridge your rights. They push abridgments of speech. They push censorship on social media. And that's all the stuff that Patriot Mobile stands against. First off, too, you're getting great service and you're going to spend a lot less for that great service, which is incredibly significant in this Biden economy. And you can get free activation using code Dana. They have the best, most reliable nationwide coverage on all three major networks. So you're getting the same service, but you're not funding the left. You can keep your phone. You can keep your number. You can upgrade, get something entirely new. The choice is yours. They'll help you find the perfect plan for your needs. They have a 100% US-based customer service team. So you are helping to create and maintain U.S.-based jobs. Visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and use promo code Dana to get free activation. Make the switch today. PatriotMobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT.
It's the idea that we become semi-isolationists now that some are talking about. I mean, the idea we had to wait all those months just to get the money for Iraq and we, because we were waiting. I mean, it's not who we are. It's not who America is.
Iraq? Wait, what?
Get the money for Iraq.
Why are we sending money to Iraq?
We already freed up billions.
Yeah, why are we sending money to Iraq for? If our media wanted to really do it right, they'd be like, Joe Biden pledges to send billions of dollars just, you know, randomly to Iraq. That's what they would do. That's what they would say. Oh my gosh. He doesn't even know. And he said it twice. It's not like he messed up and said it once. He said it twice in that soundbite. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you at the top of the second hour. More money being sent over there. I told, was it Friday or Thursday that I told everybody that we were, he had, was sending like, what is it? 200 some odd million more over to Ukraine. Yeah, was it 225 million? Yeah.
It was Thursday, yeah.
Now we're sending money to Iraq too, apparently.
Wow.
You know, just which he probably thinks is by Mexico.
Where's this all coming from, all this money?
Us. The taxpayer. People are getting real tired of this. Real tired of it, Clark. Real tired. So I don't know. I'm just telling you. In the meantime, he's getting protests. The VP got heckled. This has just been a weird weekend. It's just a weird weekend. And while all of this has been happening here, I wanted to point out one of the things I've been watching for some time, and I'll touch on this later on in the program as well. I'm sure you guys heard about the elections that they're having. A lot of people in the United States are like, oh, we don't care what the EU does. You need to. Because what they do and what they determine can affect stuff that we deal with over here. You know, we have the left over here that's like, we love EU's open borders. Like, oh my gosh. And they want to implement that at the southern border and the northern border. And they've had, and we're, like I said, I'm going to set the table with it right now. We're going to deep dive into it a little bit more later on, but they have the EU elections. And if you just look at the headlines, because the European press is nuts. If you just look at the headlines, it's, oh my gosh, the Nazis are winning elections. The fascists. Oh, and they're all freaking out because people were tired of the open borders and the lack of sovereignty, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And anything that isn't considered socialist is a Nazi fascist. That's how European leftists think. So if you're not a socialist, you are a Nazi fascist to them. I am not even remotely joking to you. I am not exaggerating either. That's literally how they think. If you are not a socialist, you are a Nazi fascist to them. It is. Have you ever talked to a European leftist? They can barely speak. The moment they find out that you disagree with them and you're not a socialist, they can barely handle it. It's like the left here, except the left here have learned how to mask it a little bit. Over there, it's just crazy. And so they've been freaking out because of these elections in the European Union. And they've had this lack of support now. And you've seen the protests. Oh, well, maybe you haven't, because if I'm being honest, our media here hasn't exactly liked showing you people protesting against open borders. They don't like the idea of people screaming about how Sharia law should, Islamic jurisprudence should be. That's the law of the land. They don't like support of just killing Jewish people. They don't like that. They don't like the idea of having a recategorized Europe that incorporates, I don't want to say barbaric, because it's an insult to barbarians. I mean, genuinely. I mean, they turned out to, you know, become the nice Germans and the French. I mean, you know, come on. They don't want to support these backwards laws that enshrine violence against women and all of this other stuff that we've seen, like you've seen, I mean, in parts of the UK. And so they think that everybody who is not leftist like them is just basically like a Hitler, which Hitler, Kane, what was Nazi short for? Remind everybody.
Socialist.
Say that last word again.
Socialist.
We're allowed.
Socialist.
Okay, thanks. Just saying. So these elections, you have the Greens and then you have, you know, everybody else. The left did not do well in these EU elections. In France, it was bad. Just to set the table. In France, it was bad. In Spain, it was bad for the left. I think that the conservative movement in Europe is gaining a lot of steam, and I think that they've performed incredibly well. For the left to freak out and act like, oh my gosh, the far right is taking over everything. They're not at the point of taking over everything yet. But this is some really good momentum. And the issue is that the left isn't going to adjust their strategy to adequately deal with it. You cannot keep enforcing lack of border control and all of these other issues relating to farming and the economy and all of this other stuff on people. They're done with it. They've had enough. If you're not going to adjust on that, you're going to continue to lose. And Spain even did. The left in Spain. Spain is a pretty socialist nation. I mean, I don't think that this is the far right taking over. I think it's the pendulum swinging back to a position of balance and normalcy. It is a correction. And the left has been so overrepresented and so reckless and so unrestrained that this is a voter correction. And these elections, this has been very interesting to watch, because you know, there have been huge advances. It's illegal immigration and inflation. And in France, Macron's dissolved the French parliament. They want snap elections coming up on June 30th and July 7th. He lost to Marine Le Pen's party. He lost her in the EU. He lost to her horribly. And she's part of the Identity and Democracy Coalition in the EU. So you have the EU, you have the European Union, it's the parliament, and you have the conservative group, the ID party within the EU. And full disclosure, when I went, because I wanted to understand this, nobody paid me to go there. Nobody did anything like that. And I'm very upfront with you guys. And this is one of the reasons why I don't do a lot of these things, because I don't like to give the appearance of any kind of impropriety or anything. And Kane and the staff, everybody knew. We went over there because I've been following it because I've been very interested. It seemed as though Europe was having a reaction, the right reaction, to a lot of the overrepresentation with leftism. And they were becoming more effective than we were here in the US. And I was very curious as to how that was. Like they weren't just like flipping seats, they were keeping them. Where we go back and forth and we battle, and it's like, why is this such a, you know, why are we struggling with these purple areas for so long? There's a couple of things in play. I wanted to understand why they were making some of the inroads that they were making with voters and what was fueling their dissatisfaction. And I also kind of wanted to see, and I was hoping, and I did, I wanted to kind of see how the right and the left interact at that level. Oh my gosh, it's crazy. The press hates them. But when we went over there, this was in March, went to Rome and met with, talked with their deputy prime minister of Italy and some of the other members of the ID party. They had an event there on that Saturday, and we went. We were just, you know, we were observers. My husband and I went. We were just kind of observing. And again, nobody paid us. Nobody did anything like that. It was a very eye-opening trip. And these people are just as much conservative as we are, and they get slammed for it by their press, because the press, just like here in the United States, is on the exact same page as the, and they're straight up socialists. They're not just leftist in these European nations. They are straight up socialist. They're commies. It's all, you know, different sides of the same coin. They are very, very far left. And it was interesting to see how they were treated by members of their press. And then the press would write some salacious stuff about them. And then if they defended themselves, then they were charged with hate crimes. Or they would, that's what happened to Matthew Salvini, the deputy prime minister of Italy. He wouldn't allow a bunch of people who were trying to illegally immigrate to Italy off the boat. And they were like, oh, you're kidnapping. They wanted to charge him with all these crimes, put him away for 20 years. It's crazy. Their press is out of control, and they're protected by the veneer of the press, right? And it was very interesting to hear their struggles and how they were dealing with these issues. And they were, one of the things I noted, and I think this is kind of the difference a little bit with how they're doing it there as opposed to how we're doing it here. They are very, 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 very grassroots on the ground over there. Whereas in American politics, it's very top down. You have a ton of different groups, right? You have all these, you can name a whole bunch of them. I know you can. You have all these different groups. You have all these different think tanks. You have all this different stuff. And there isn't as much engagement like on the ground in the seeds of the grassroots, if that makes sense. Whereas in Europe, these people are out literally like in the streets, in the neighborhoods, doing all of this stuff. Very, very hard work electioneering. And I had been talking to a number of their leaders about that. And I found that very interesting. It was like old school electioneering. Retail politics at its most organic, which I think is something that we've got to do more of here. But a lot of people like to outsource it to different groups, to different strategists, to influencers, to consultants, and that doesn't necessarily translate to lasting victory. As cosmetic as your outreach is going to be, that's going to be equally cosmetic your victory. So we're going to talk more about what these results mean, but just to kind of put it up on the table for you, you know, as an first course, it is very hopeful to see this, because these are people who are allies and potential greater allies. And you want to have more like-minded people in the world, not fewer like-minded people in the world. A couple of things also, and like I said, we're going to dive into all of that. A couple of other things to hit on as well. because I don't think I got everything with the last segment. Let me pull this up. Is this piece here? So, looking back at Middle East, what was the story that we had for you last week about the pier, how it was sinking and all this stuff? Oh, CENTCOM reestablished it. The pier's back, Kane.
Is it?
Yeah. So CENTCOM, they've reestablished a temporary pier in Gaza. Huh. And it's part of their joint logistics over the shore capability for humanitarian aid. So they're going back to it. They're still going to do it. How much did this cost? Because this had to have been an additional price tag, right?
Yeah, the other one was over 300 mil.
And it was, yeah, it kept ballooning. It wasn't supposed to be that much. They changed the price of like two different times on that.
It's like a Monty Python skit.
It is like a Monty Python skit. Aid deliveries are expected to resume in the coming days. So that's what they're doing. They're reestablishing that. You knew it was going to happen. You knew it was going to happen. We got more on the way to get into. We've got the Caitlin Clark drama. She didn't make the Olympic team. Why? Is it because she's a rookie, or is it because the militant leftist WNBA? I don't know. We will discuss that. We got a lot to touch on. The partners for this portion of our program, it's our friends over at Gold Co. because they understand that when you have government spending the way that it's spending, when you have rampant inflation, when you have all of this stuff happening, you want to make sure that you are protecting your savings and your retirement. And you can do that with Gold Co. They've got a free 2024 wealth protection guide that's going to arm you with the facts about how precious metals could help you in the face of inflation, war, and exploding national debt. And you could be eligible for up to 10% instant match and bonus silver. It's all while supplies last, so don't sleep on it. They've got thousands of five-star reviews at Gold Co. They've helped people like you and me, yes, you and me, place over $2.5 billion in gold and silver. And one of their most unique qualities is that education-first stance that they have. They want to make sure that you understand as the buyer the economy and how gold IRAs work. They want to make it easy for you to get the benefit of owning physical gold and silver. It's a very important part of your overall retirement and savings strategy. So visit danalikesgold.com. Get your free gold kit from Gold Co. Learn how to get $10,000 in bonus silver and get your complimentary wealth protection kit. That's danalikesgold.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So Gen Z, looking at my, because I did my 12 o'clock headlines, I'm doing my 11 o'clock headlines. Gen Z goes to work instead of college. This is a new stat. The College Fix has this story. This is actually kind of encouraging because not everybody needs to go into a ton of debt and go and get a four-year degree, especially if it's like a humanities kind of thing. But they said that in Iowa particularly, a lot of students are going for manufacturing, trade school, etc. It's the Chronicle of Higher Education. They reported on enrollment drops at Iowa universities. So this is becoming a new trend with Gen Z. It's a very encouraging kind of trend here. Also, two-thirds of U.S. adults oppose transgender men cosplaying as females in women's sports. I'm not saying transgender female because it's a stupid made-up phrase. It's a man who dresses as a woman. They, out of this University of Chicago survey, two-thirds of American adults are against men who one identifies women competing with biological females in women's sports.
Why is it two-thirds? Why is it
Yeah, it should be all of the thirds. I agree. It should be all of them. But it is, I mean, it's a U of Chicago poll. So that, but still, the fact that, you know, it's kind of a leftist origin survey and they still got, I mean, that's, I think that's kind of impressive. Let's see. This is a crazy story. Apollo 8 mission astronaut was killed in a plane crash. The William Anders was killed, 90 years old, in a plane crash Friday afternoon. The 90-year-old former astronaut was reportedly piloting a vintage Air Force T-34 Mentor before crashing just off the San Juan Islands in Washington State, according to Fox 13 Seattle. Anders' son, retired Air Force Lieutenant Colonel Greg Anders, confirmed his father's death to the AP on Friday. He said, you know, obviously the family's devastated. 90 years old and he's flying a plane. Biden's in his 70s. Struggling to walk across the flat surface. Just saying. It's a buyer's market for boats, RVs, and other pandemic toys because everybody's got to sell stuff because they can't survive anymore. Nobody can, I mean, everybody, they have to sell everything. Nobody can survive anymore. People are selling off everything. They said it's a little bit more than just buyer's remorse. They said that, you know, times are tough, inflation, everything else, a Biden economy. So coming up, we've got a whole bunch of stuff to get into, including SCOTUS season.
Hi, I'm Erica, an English major at Hillsdale College. Here's Hillsdale President Dr. Larry Arnn with a Constitution Minute.
James Madison writes in Federalist 51 that men are not angels. Their passions and self-interest often get the better of their reason and sense of justice. So we need government in order to protect our rights against those who would take them away. But for the same reason, Madison writes, government must be limited, because people in government have passions and interests too. Many Americans today forget this. Supposing that we can do away with constitutional limits on government, supposing that the unelected bureaucrats being put in charge of our health care, for example, will rule as if they are angels. If Madison was correct about human nature, this is foolish and dangerous.
To learn more and get a free pocket constitution, visit constitutionminute.com.
Ready to grow your intellectual Rolodex? Download the Dana Show podcast and join the ranks of those who refuse to settle for the same old boring content on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You could talk a little bit more about this. It seems to me that it would be very hard to find a jury that has been untouched by addiction completely.
Yeah, and the reason that I wanted to come forward and write about this is because even though I've been sober since I was a teenager, I felt that the disease that Hunter Biden has is the same disease that I have. It's the same disease that, you know, almost 20% of the country has. And, you know, Republicans do love to talk about, like, fentanyl coming over the border. Like, there's a reason that drugs are a problem in this country, and it's largely because of addiction.
Okay. So we didn't need all of that soundbite. We just needed that one part, because that's so she's no one you need to know. She's a Nepo baby. Her mom, Erica Jong, is responsible for everything Sucking Out Loud. One of the broads responsible. She's like one of the participants of second wave feminism, which was the annoying feminism. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you at the bottom of the second hour. So this, her name's Molly Jong Fast or whatever. I don't even like saying her name, because it's like, if you look in the mirror and you say Candyman, then Candyman appears, you know? It's like, I don't want her to appear and start, like, you know, whining in an annoying fashion to me about, like, feminism and other nonsense. She's a Nepo baby. No one would know who she was if it wasn't for her mom. Nobody would know. And nobody really cares. But I just think it's funny, because she's like, well, you know, he has the same disease that I have. I'm like, what, being a Nepo baby? That's not a disease, you privileged twit. That's not a disease. You're a Nepo baby. Like how, what's her face? Julia Louis-Dreyfus, who was going off about Jerry Seinfeld. And she was talking about PC comedy. And she apparently took issue with Jerry Seinfeld saying that, you know, political correctness was hurting comedy, and she disagreed with it. And nobody cares about Louis, what her face. She has too many damn names. What's her face? Dreyfus, Julie Louis, whatever. I don't know what the hell her name is. She's a Nepo baby too. She's worth like trillions of dollars. She's a Nepo baby. Like her parents' money bought her entry into Hollywood. She's a Nepo baby who doesn't write any of her own material, unlike Jerry Seinfeld. So have a million seats, Elaine, because you were the funniest when Jerry was writing your stuff for you. Anyway, the Hunter Biden trial. Lorraine's got a piece up at Substack, which, by the way, you need to make sure you go and sign up for, because all good stuff comes out of that over at Substack. This the Hunter Biden trial, ongoing, although now they're wrapping everything up. The week-long gun trial. So they've had the gun store employees, they had law enforcement, prosecution arrested on Thursday. They tried to put his daughter up there on Friday to get, as Lori noted, to score pity points. Naomi, the one who got married in the White House. Didn't she live in the White House too for a while? I felt like, didn't we read that somewhere? I swear I had that as a story, that she lived there for a while. So the I don't know how you don't get a conviction in this case, because the evidence is overwhelming, but it is Delaware. And this is, you know, justice is definitely not blind. It is absolutely not blind. They were going to call his Uncle Jim to the stand. That's Joe's brother. But they decided that they weren't going to apparently do it. I don't know. So they recess now. I don't know what's going to, we'll see. We'll see what ends up happening, but we're going to watch this case because it's this case. And then we got SCOTUS season happening too, because this is the time when we get a lot of the Supreme Court cases. You got the case on Trump immunity before they recess for the summer, their term's winding down. So you have the presidential immunity case. And that's where they're trying to determine whether or not Trump is immune from prosecution for anything that he committed while in office. And this is the J6 stuff. It's really what all this is. This is so stupid. Where's the crime? Where's the crime? Where is it? They got the J6 obstruction. They have to just determine whether or not prosecutors can use a federal obstruction statute to charge J6 rioters. They have a thing on the abortion pills. It's the mifepristone, which sounds like a soup.
Like,
yeah, doesn't it? I look at it and my brain wants to read it as minestrone soup. So they're going to determine that. They said nearly 2/3 of abortions in the U.S. used that pill in 2023. Then they have the Supreme Court on Idaho's emergency abortion care, looking at Idaho's abortion ban, etc. They have federal agency power. It's figuring that out. Then they've got the U.S. versus Rahimi. And that's the court case that's going to determine whether or not, and this is interesting because this might affect Hunter Biden. It's going to determine whether or not that a law that bans people who are subject to domestic violence restraining orders from owning firearms, whether or not that violates the Second Amendment. And the reason I say why that could have and why that might, you know, be relevant to Hunter Biden's case is because it is a conversation as to whether or not the natural rights, not just the right to bear arms, but everything else, but specifically bear arms in this case, whether or not that you can actually forfeit a natural right. That's what that gets into. This was what Cantor v. Barr explored, and Amy Coney Barrett got a lot of heat for this. She had a very conservative ruling on this. Her view was that absent any kind of immediate danger or violent threat, no, you can't have, in this instance, an individual, the defendant was a white-collar criminal who was involved in fraud, and because he used the Postal Service as part of his fraudulent activities, he got a huge felony charge with it. And with that, the forfeiture of his Second Amendment rights. And he sued in Cantor v. Barr, stating that he should not have to forfeit his Second Amendment rights. You know, 2A is you can't, you know, this is not something that can be abridged, etc. And Amy Coney Barr actually agreed with that argument. And she was saying that, you know, looking back historically, even, you know, at the way that the colonies had Second Amendment recognition constructed, that absent any kind of violence or immediate threat, you can't do that. You can't remove someone's natural Second Amendment right from them. And so this is kind of a very interesting, this involves domestic violence restraining orders. So from, and whether or not that violates 2A rights. This kind of also flies in the face. How do the moms demand the Bloomberg AstroTurf group? How do they deal with this? Because they always say that these laws don't exist. And very clearly here we have proof that these laws exist because they're being sued to be removed in the Supreme Court. So they absolutely do exist. Now there's a secondary gun case that's also being considered here, and that's Garland v. Cargill. And we've had Michael Cargill on the show before. That's the court is determining whether or not the Trump administration messed up when they implemented a ban on bump stocks. Because under Trump, there was a bump stock ban. And I think bump stocks, can I be frank? I think they're dumb, but I don't see why they don't improve accuracy. They don't do any of that. I mean, I think if you're using it for, there's different attachments that people have made over the years to help like disabled veterans and all this stuff. Bump stocks are just a great way to waste ammo, I think. But I don't know why we have to have there has to be prohibition on ownership. And this is after the Las Vegas shooting that came into effect. And so this bump stock ban, the way that they're approaching it is not a 2A issue. It's like a regulatory issue because it's something that should have originated within Congress, not something that because it was left for the ATF to do an end run around. So the ATF was basically unobstructed and they could create this law and or create not law. They could create this edict and have it be treated as law. And so that's what's that's the determination here. So we have these particular cases that are going to be decided in SCOTUS season. And it could come like really at any time. You know how it works. Everybody waits. They get a word a couple hours out. Everybody assembles outside of the Supreme Court. And then you got your interns that race inside and they have to grab the decisions and then run back out. It's a fun thing. It's a very fascinating thing. I like it. And then everybody races to get the news first. Do you think it's that important anymore? People would literally put on like their best running shoes and they would race. And it was always like the intern that got back first and whatever news agency got it first. Like that was, you know, your big get of the day. But does it matter anymore? Because I feel like virality or the viralness, for the lack of a better way to put it, of a piece kind of now has taken importance over whether or not someone was first, right? It feels like that. So we'll see. Those are all the cases. It's a busy SCOTUS season. So those are the cases that they're making the determination on. And so that immunity case, all that stuff. So like, you know, we'll bring that to you as, you know, when stuff happens, when you get the word out, they get the word in the morning and all that. And we'll go. They keep going after Alito. I'm not going to dive into it because it's like every time Alito coughs, sneezes, blinks, there's some stupid piece about it. And they're trying to, they went after him for the flag. I just don't even care about these. I don't even care about their hackneyed stories anymore. I really would rather not waste the breath talking about it. Right? I'd rather talk about how, like, Space Marines is only 3-player co-op, which is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Why would you not have 4? You know, stuff like that. That's important and has more of an impact in America, specifically my house. Just saying. So we got Florida Man on the way. And we've been diving into the left's reaction to conservatives winning major, major, major victories across Europe with these EU elections. That's a very good thing for the United States. Think about the trade. Think about shutting down inroads with China, all kinds of stuff. Very, very good news indeed. So and it's just the beginning. So we've got that. We also have Caitlin Clark. She, was it an Olympic snub? Did they snub her, do you think?
I don't know. I didn't look into it that deep, but it seems that way.
This is weird. We're going to talk about this coming up too. And so think about it. Was she snubbed because she wasn't asked to be on the Olympic team? But then who do they got? They got a chick who hadn't even played a game this season who's injured, who got picked?
Yeah.
Okay, what? Like, why? Are they not wanting people to watch WNBA? I feel like that. I feel like they're not. We got Florida Man on the way.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
I am still, and by the way, I guess people know that we read the guy who sneezed and his colon fell out.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we read that I can't tell you how many times I've been sent that story in the past several days.
One time was enough.
I mean, we described it and everything, guys. Yes, we talked about the guts because that's literally goes someone's like, oh man, his guts fell out. You should talk about his guts falling out on radio. A SWAT sniper ended a hostage crisis with a precision shot in Southwest Florida. They neutralized a hostage situation at a Bank of America. They shot the suspect through a computer monitor. The suspect's name, are you ready for this? Sterling Alavanche. That sounds like a soap. That's a Telemundo story name. Sterling also? Really? Your name is Sterling. So there's only 2 jobs, maybe 3, that you're going to have with a name like Sterling. You're either going to be a very, very rich, like, oil tycoon, yeah, right? A porn star or a bank robber. That's it, right? And he was one of the 3. He said he was armed with a knife, claimed to have a bomb, shot him in the head. The hostages were unarmed. And, got him right through the monitor. Man, that was a shot of shots right there. And thankfully, again, the innocent were saved and they were not harmed. I do not want to talk about this 29-year-old Florida man who threw kittens out of a car while driving on the highway, because I'm going to want to drive to Florida and throw him out of a car while driving down the highway. It's going to take everything I got. Oh, my gosh. I don't even like cats.
Should
I actually do not like them at all. One of the reasons I do not like them is because I am legitimately doctor confirmed. I had blood tests and everything. I am super allergic to them. So I can't be around cats. And I also can't. I'm allergic to goose down. Is that funny? Super allergic to goose down. Yep. Is that crazy? I know. I'm like, yeah, but those are the floofy pillows that everybody wants, right? I don't know. So this guy was 29-year-old man charged with animal cruelty. He threw these kittens out of a car while driving on the highway. They said that the kittens, they watched them tumble out of the vehicle. They tried to, there was chaos. People tried to avoid hitting them. They got the guy. He denied knowing them, but they were saved. They're okay. They're fine. They said that they made an arrest. The kittens are all right. They're going to get adopted. I wish every story ended happy like that. So the bad guys, you know, in prison. Florida man is telling police, well, a Florida man allegedly told police that he was Mr. Monopoly. Yeah. Ryan Howard, 33, is charged with resisting arrest and criminal mischief. He went directly to jail. He didn't get to pass go. He didn't get to collect $200. He went right to jail. He told police in St. Petersburg that he was Mr. Monopoly, and he was arrested, charged Saturday. And they said that he was spray painting a concrete wall in the area. And he was, he's very smug, I have to say, in his mugshot. But he would not give his name. When the officers kept asking him what his name was, he wasn't complying. So he was taken to the pokey. Yeah, he got to tell them. I'm not reading this story because this woman is a skank. I'm not reading this story because this guy is, what? Is it bad? It's probably one of the ones that, oh no, it's not. So a man builds a 10-foot wide tiny home despite his neighbors and then lists it for $600,000. I'm telling you somebody's going to buy it. You know that. It's a 10-foot wide, 1,500 square foot tiny home, and he's selling the house for $619,000. He wanted to build a large house on the narrow lot, and so they wouldn't let him, so he built a tiny little bitty house and just to get at his neighbors, and now, yeah. So now the neighbors are in a sticky wicket. We got more on the way. Stick with us.
You know, somebody very smart said to me recently that the challenge with women's basketball is that most of the stars are black, most of the great players are black, but most of the stars are white, whether it's who's getting awarded by the ESPN, whether who's getting noticed by the magazines. And like you said, if there were charter flights, Brittany Griner would not have ended up in a gulag, right? These ladies are flying commercial, and yes, they're not treated as like the men are. How much of this do you think, though, is the marketing potential of a Caitlin Clark? Because quite frankly, this is a league that is largely, as you said, largely black women. It's also largely LGBTQ. She's a white heterosexual woman. And so if you're trying to get white dads to go spend their money and buy season tickets, she seems like a marketing opportunity. How much of it is that?
Oh, my gosh. Can they ever not be bitter? That's what's her face. Joy Reid. She exists just to get stupid sound bites from. That's it. Otherwise, nobody cares what she says on her program. Welcome back to the program, Dana Lash, with you, top of this third hour. I'm so tired of hearing these people be so bitter over Caitlin Clark. She's like, well, you know, if Brittany Griner had charter flights. Yes, it was the lack of a charter flight that put the pot on Brittany Griner's person. That's what it was. See, when you don't get a charter flight, if you're going to Russia, pot magically appears. You magically get the cannabis oils that you know are banned there. And you try to surreptitiously stuff it away in your luggage, but you know it's banned there. It's Russia, for crying out loud. I mean, what'd you think? She wasn't going as part of a team, was she? When Brittany Griner was going over to Russia, wasn't she going on her own?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, what the hell does that have to do with a charter flight? They just don't like Caitlin Clark because she's white and straight. That's it. They don't like Caitlin Clark because she's not a black lesbian. That's the truth of it. Stop. She's not a bad player. I don't get it. She didn't get picked for the Olympic team. Steve, let me ask you this. Do you think she should have been picked for the Olympic team? Because it seemed like she's been doing a lot of good. I know this is her rookie season, but there were chicks that have not even played a single game this season who are injured who got selected for the Olympic team.
There's a debate to be had. If you were trying to, in my opinion, if you're trying to get the, you know, the 12, 15, 20 best American female basketball players, Caitlin Clark is on that list. But I guess I had to make a decision, and she didn't make that cut. So,
yeah, I don't know. I feel like it just seems punitive. It's like, I understand you got to pay your dues in that, but this doesn't seem like you're paying your dues, does it? This seems like they're mad at her because she's successful and she's bringing eyeballs in and sponsorship opportunities and all of this stuff. Like, I don't know. I mean, the whole thing is just weird to me. Isn't it?
I think they'd rather have a man play than let Caitlin Clark play.
Well, yeah, it seems like it.
She played in D.C. on Friday night because I knew some people that went. And they sold out the whole arena. And like the Wizards, who are the NBA team here, can't even sell out at all. And she sold out the whole place.
She sold out the whole place and the Wizards can't even sell it out. Wow. That's wild. Yeah, she doesn't make the USA Olympics team. It seems like, and she's really classy about it. She goes, oh, I'm excited. It's the most competitive team. And, you know, she said it could have gone either way. She goes, me being on the team, not being on the team. She's like, I'll be rooting for them to win gold. She's way classier than all the people who are like gunning for her. And for her to be left to, I think it's a snub, you know, because she seems, I don't know. I mean, and Brittany Griner Brittany Griner has no business being snotty about it. Some said that they weren't even going to watch the competition. And Griner apparently tweeted something and said, bye, after someone said, no, Caitlin, don't got to worry about me watching. Brittany Griner, you're an American embarrassment. Stop. You don't need to be, you don't even have any ground to be catty over Caitlin Clark at all whatsoever. For real. It's, I don't know. She's being classy about it. She's looking at the long game. But now I'm wondering, does the WNBA, do they want to be militant identity politic, or do they want to be a successful league? Because I feel like they don't want to be a successful league. It feels like they want to be militantly identity politic to the point where merit and competitiveness are number two. I mean, that's what it seems like. I read this piece that said, oh man, this team is going to be the gayest team in the Olympics. Like literally, like half of the team are lesbians. Does that, to me, her not conforming with identity politics and not making that like her number one identity feels like it hurts her. See, this is what I don't get. Since we have a whole month for this stuff, what I don't get is how some of these activists claim that they want to be, I guess, cleaved in or completely viewed as just the same as everyone else, but they make their sexual identity their number one identity to the point where everything else about them is overshadowed. And then if you point out that that seems to be hypocritical, then you're called a bigot. Right? It's weird. And it feels like that with the WNBA. I don't know. I think it's dumb that she's not. I wasn't going to watch women's basketball in the first place. Look, I don't even watch WNBA now. And I like basketball, but I don't watch WNBA. I don't have time for this. Is there so much? There seems like more drama than on the men's court. It's good grief. But I think she can take it. I think she's used to, you know, stuff like this. But I mean, clearly her popularity is making a lot of these other players feel uncomfortable. And, you know, if these women are unappreciative of that, if they don't see that a rising tide raises all ships, then go back to having them fly commercial. Go back to all this stuff. They want all the perks that come with Caitlin Clark, but they don't want Caitlin Clark. That's sad to be that little in your thinking. I also think, you know what? You know what this goes to show? Is this is a problem with women, gay or straight. Women are like this. Aren't they, King? They are like this. I cannot stand most women. They're just bitches. I can't stand them. There's a handful of women that I actually like. And in this industry, it's even smaller. Some of the craziest women are women that wear these big old crosses and they go on cable news and they act like holier than thou pundits. And I know the real story. Like, come on. I cannot. One day I'm going to write a book and names will be named. But I just, it's, there's this idea that's so prevalent amongst women that I don't see it with men, a scarcity of access or a scarcity of opportunity. And my friend Carol Roth and I have talked about this before. She's like one of the few women I actually like. And they're not, it's, they're women who I think revel in the sufferings of other women. And they view every woman as competition. And what I find so interesting about this WNBA stuff is that you can be a militant black lesbian, but you are not immune. You are a woman still, and you are still doing this stuff even in the WNBA. So there are some things you cannot change. And there are women who want to cosplay as men and act like they're transgender men. They do the same thing. It is a woman thing. It is innate. Not every woman, but most women. It's very interesting to watch this. But the WNBA seems like the world's worst workplace because it's all broads. All women. It's like the world's worst workplace. And Caitlin Clark, bless her heart, rookie. She's hated because she's straight. She's hated because she's white. She's hated because she's not into identity politics. She keeps the drama off the court. She shows up, just does what she does. People hate her for it. They're jealous of her. They're jealous of her youth. They're jealous of her talent. They're jealous of her presence, her influence. I'd be like, thanks, girl, for us flying charter. Thanks for us being able to fly charter. That's awesome. Thanks for that. This is how women should look at stuff like this. You know, if you have to worry about being replaced, if you are replaced by somebody better than you, it's deserved. So strive to be better. Take a look at it. Speaking of better, guess who's out there giving interviews now again? Kristi Noem is back, guys, with her extensions and all their glory. Is that mean to say? Because it's obvious. She's had a glow up and it just seems extreme. Why are you laughing and dying over that? I'm going to say it because nobody else will.
Just talk
it's
about
too
how
much.
Catty girls are, and then you go on with this stuff.
I've said I'm catty. I don't deny it.
I know, that's why I'm laughing.
But I also don't practice the scarcity of opportunity that a lot of other broads do. You know, like, there's women in my sphere that I'm very friendly with and I get along great with, and there are other women in my sphere who hate me because they always view you as competition. I can't stand chicks like that. But Kristi Noem, she was on a cable news show. She went on CNN Sunday. I don't know why. Because guess what's the first thing they're going to ask her about? Kane, if you write a dog about... Or, sorry.
He just gave it up.
I'm going to choke to death. Oh my gosh. That was a verbal typo and it stays. If you write...
A book.
About taking your dog to the gravel pit.
And then you go silent on media for 2 weeks and then you
it was longer than 2 weeks. She
was
stopped.
It longer than 2 weeks? Okay.
It was like a month.
Okay. So
went away for like a month.
For several weeks and then you come back.
And I guess she thought that people were going to be like, well, we got past this part in your book and now let's talk about the other parts. No, people want to talk about Cricket, the dog. And so she was talking with Dana Bash and Dana Bash goes, she asked her, she's like, so now that you've had time to process all of that, in all candor, do you have regrets? Now, can I just point out, in this story, it began with, oh my gosh, we have a puppy, and, you know, she clearly didn't train the puppy. She alluded to that in the book. I read the passage. And she said that she took Cricket out and trying to train her with bird hunting. And then right after they went to a family, right after she tried to train this puppy with bird hunting, they go to a nearby friend's farm. And apparently they don't have Cricket secured inside the vehicle. And they, you know, that's a friend's farm. They got chickens and all kinds of stuff. Again, Cricket had just been training with bird hunting like hours before. Cricket sees birds, not secured in the vehicle, gets out of the vehicle, goes after the birds, right? Because she has been doing that all day and she's not been trained. So it went from, that was the story in the book. Like, oh, she's undisciplined. I don't have time to train her, basically, is what she was intimating. Take her to gravel pit, shoot her. So it went from that to, this is the, what's that Stephen King dog? Cujo. Cricket turned into Cujo now. And Christine O made it sound like this dog was possessed by the devil and went around attacking livestock, killing livestock, attacking people, burning down houses, raping and pillaging. This damn dog was just everywhere. She made it. This dog has gotten infinitely more murderous and vicious in the retelling of the original story, which still exists in its original form, which makes her retelling of it more ridiculous. So she goes, she tells Dana Bash, she's like, that's a 20-year-old story of a mom who made you. Why did, first off, full stop. Why did you include it? It's a 20-year-old story that I shared. Why are we talking about it? Because you. She goes, I had to protect my children from a vicious animal that was attacking livestock, killing livestock and attacking people. Wait, what? The puppy got out of the truck and killed some chickens right after you were training it to bird hunt. And you didn't have it secured in the truck and it got out and killed chickens. That turned into just random livestock. She acts like it was killing cattle. The hell? Come on. You just made a dummy and you put it in a book and you trying to act tough and you shouldn't have done it. That's all right, but what makes it worse, and this is where her lack of acumen just keeps getting at her, is she keeps trying to rehabilitate herself with this story. What you should have done was said, you know what, that's not the, it's not a good flex. I realize that. That would have been way cooler and more hardcore had she done that, as opposed to, no, this vicious Cujo began attacking every animal and eating children alive. Not the same. We have more on the way.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
This is a very good boy. A loving dog ran 4 miles to get help, saving his owner's life at a campsite. This is unbelievable. He saved his owner's life, guided people to the scene of a horrific crash in Oregon. Deputies learned about a vehicle that went over an embankment, and they said that the reporting party said the brother not made it to the camp yesterday afternoon. The dog traveled 4 miles to the camp, and that alerted the rest of the party that something was wrong. Heart-stopping pictures showed the truck flipped over. Remember, they set up the rescue. They said they were able to load him, secure him in a rescue basket. Had the dog not gone to alert people, They never would have found him, and he probably wouldn't have made it. That's insane. Oh my gosh, I love dogs. I love dogs. Dogs are great. And that was in Oregon too, by the way. AI systems are learning to lie and deceive, scientists find. Oh, really? You needed a whole thing. A python swallowed a whole woman in Indonesia, a 45-year-old woman. They found her husband found it. Oh, stay with us.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We have increased the number of refugees that we will accept from the Western Hemisphere. We have built safe mobility offices in Colombia, Ecuador, Guatemala, Costa Rica, to reach people where they are so they don't have to take the perilous journey.
What is a safe mobility house? So you can make it to where they don't count as an illegal entry because they went to a mobility office and they got processed through down there. And then that's Alejandro Mayorkas, who was speaking to ABC. That's what he told them. And the program, and Lorraine found this program about a way to reduce the counting of the crossings coming into the country. It's not reducing the crossings. It's reducing you counting how many people are coming across the border as opposed to how many are not. And it said that this program is an expansion of lawful pathways to the United States for refugees and migrants in South and Central America. The program says that it is the Safe Mobility Initiative, eligible refugees and migrants will be considered for humanitarian and other regular pathways to the U.S. or other countries that may offer such opportunities. Individuals seeking to go to the U.S. or other countries participating in the program can take advantage of these safe and lawful processes. And it works with the UN, Refugee Agency, and others. So it is. They're processing them at these mobility offices and then acting like, oh, that's not a deluge coming across the border. There are fewer because by the time they get to the border, they're not, they're okay to come in. So they're not really illegal anymore, even though it's really, you know, that's questionable. Look at them trying to figure that out, Kane. Yeah. Look at that.
So they've successfully figured out a way to invade the country well south of the border.
Legally.
Like not even.
Legally.
At the border.
Yeah, not even at the border.
You can invade far away.
Yeah. That's like having an office in front of your house in the street where people can check in and then enter your house without you knowing and getting okay and all that. Going through the proper, they just process them faster. So you are just bringing people in. And then you know what? If there's any kind of reduction in crossings, because now they're not going to count these as illegal border crossings because they've included these quote-unquote mobility offices, they're going to turn around and say, Joe Biden's executive order is working, guys. And then if you say, no, it's not, then they're going to go, well, these are Trump policies. So are you saying that Trump's policies didn't work? That's how they're going to shut you up. Oh, my gosh. You see how this is working? Just turn into Joseph Joestar unintentionally. Oh, my gosh. I'm telling you. What are you thinking about? I can, when Kane thinks about stuff, he goes into his thinking man pose. He literally starts pulling on his facial hair and look like a poster and looking up into the sky. What are you thinking about? What's going through your head over there with this?
I don't know. It just seems like there's a pattern with the government with stuff like this. It seems like their idea of just not reporting what's going on seems to be the way to go. Like with everything from domestic crime to now immigration. It seems like they've latched on to something that seems to be working for them.
Interesting. Very interesting. Yeah, I think there's something to that, isn't there? Interesting indeed. Yeah, I think like with crime, like as you said, we just don't prosecute them. Yeah, we just drop the charges down to misdemeanors. Look, there's fewer felonies now. Because we're not charging them as felonies. It's amazing. Look, it works.
Yeah, don't put no tire marks on a pride mural that's on the street.
Speaking of which, did you guys see? I'm going to be so mad over this. Did you guys see this? This was over the weekend. It was this, gosh, this guy. Can you hear the breathlessness in his tweet? Adam Schwager. He's a reporter, guys. Adam Schwager. He's a reporter, and he was reporting about he's from Washington, and apparently I guess this is somewhere in Washington. There's a like a pride mural or somewhere. By the way, the notes on this on the tweet are hysterical. So this is what he writes: quote, a group of 5 to 6 kids just started doing donuts and creating skid marks on the pride mural right in front of me as we're reporting on 3 people getting arrested for doing the same thing last night. And the note on this is hysterical. They go, this is satire. The kids are riding scooters like normal. Scooters cannot be used to vandalize a road. And there's a link to WikiHow, ride a scooter. I'm going to say, was this note helpful? Yes, it cited high-quality sources, easy to understand, directly address post-claim, provides important context. Because now Musk took the, I wasn't able to do anything on X. I couldn't even fact-check, and now I can now. Anyway, so it was just these kids riding a scooter. By the way, I watched this video multiple times, and they're literally just riding scooters. They're riding them all over in the road. How are people supposed to traverse over a public roadway if there somebody's like, I'm going to vandalize it by putting a pride flag on there. Isn't that the vandalism first, that you painted a pride flag on the asphalt? That seems like that's the first vandalism.
That would be it.
The first act of vandalism. These kids are riding around. I guess this is a roundabout. They're literally riding all over. They're not popping wheels. They're not like putting skid marks. I don't even think you can put skid marks on it with those tires.
That's not possible to do.
Oh my gosh, they're kids. You're a creeper who's recording kids riding to scooters, you damn groomer. The hell's the matter with you? Oh my gosh. And then he goes like this. He goes, these kids also made skid marks up Howard right in front of Boo Radley's. So I'm not sure it was targeted at the mural or just general vandalism. They're kids riding scooters, you epic moron.
There were literally no skid marks made by those kids.
No, these are kids being kids. This guy is like the poster child for I want to get bullied. I look at this dude and I'm like, you have yellow teeth and you weren't bullied enough as a child. For real. Like, don't show your teeth if they look like tea. Is he British? I'm sorry, I'm kidding.
But
I mean,
it's protected speech to spray paint murals, take down statues, destroy monuments.
No, it's not protected speech to do that, Karen. Not the holy pride flag. It's holy. Can't do that.
But skid marks on the street. It's a felony.
I just cannot even believe he was freaking out over these kids. I mean, I can, but, you know, it's so Adam Schwager, he's a broadcast reporter. He was real upset. He was so upset. These kids are riding their scooter. I just want to make fun of this guy for the rest of the show. It's what I want to do. Oh, man. I mean, can you imagine, like, if he thinks that's vandalism, don't look at the stuff that's being left at the border. Jeebus. Jeebus. G-E-E-B-U-S. Thank you. Don't look at the stuff that's being left at the border. Because that's... you guys, I need to share this story with you. You're not going to believe this headline. You ready for it? What's up with Chicago's mayors, first off? Let me ask that. Because remember the last lady... Why are you laughing? We're not going to get through this segment, are we?
We do remember that last lady.
Was her?
Yeah.
She
was Lori Lightfoot, right?
Yeah, but do you remember? She went to a salon when everything was locked down, and she came back out looking the same. She's like, I got standards I got to maintain. I'm the face of the city. So you have Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson. Guys, he spent $30,000 on personal grooming in 1 year on makeup. He spent $30,000 on makeup. I, as a girl who is on television 5 days a week and I do my own hair and makeup, I don't even spend $30,000 a year. I don't spend anywhere near $30,000 a year on hair and makeup. What is he doing? He's a man. Have you seen him? How is he spending $30,000 on hair and makeup a year? So he, my first thought was he had to hire a makeup artist, like a full-time makeup artist. So he spent, oh my gosh, he spent $4,000 on hair appointments at a beauty salon. A man. Can I say something? I don't really know if I feel like dudes should be going to anything but a barber shop. You know what I'm saying? I'm a little old school. Like, I don't want to be at my lady salon and look over and see you, a man. I just don't. I'm not being ignorant. I'm really sexist about this stuff. I am admittedly sexist. I just, like, I think men control the yard and the thermostat and the car stuff. And women control, like, the food stuffs and the interior, right? And the family schedule. That's how this works, right? That's how this all works. That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't even put gas in my own car. I have not put gas in my own car. I don't even know. I mean, I know how to do it. I just choose to not. I just don't do it. Like, I will not even, my kids will die. If I'm out, because I'm the only girl in my family, I won't even open my own door. I will stand in front of it and stare at it like a helpless Jedi trying to use a mind trick. And I will wait for a male in my party to open the door. Not because I'm helpless, because I'm not touching the door. I am sexist. I freely admit it. I freely admit it, right? Just like if I walk past the thermostat and I feel like it's cold, I'll turn and look at my husband. I'll go, what's the temperature? I ask him what the temperature is instead of just grunk. See, that's a give and take, right? I don't have to put gas in my car. That's the give and take. Anyway, I don't want to be in a salon and looking over and seeing you a man in the salon, right? Is it weird? Like, you wouldn't want to be at the barber shop and look over and see a woman, right? I feel like the barbershop's where the men go. Is that sexist? I don't care. Anyway, he spent $4,000 going to the salon. He hardly has hair.
We're in a world where we wouldn't expect to see men in women's bathrooms, let alone...
Well, true.
Lady salons.
Lady salons. I don't think you got to say lady salon. I think that's redundant. It's salon and barbershop. That's it. So he hired this lady. Her name's Denise Malloy. And she runs like a makeup. I guess she does makeup. She does a makeup company. Malloy's Makeup Magic. M-A-J-I-C. All right.
Sounds right.
Yeah. And the payments are listed under candidate makeup for TV, makeup retainer, candidate makeup for debate. And then apparently after he was elected, he has tons of payments to Makeup Magic that fall under like a very general catch-all campaign expense description, right? And he apparently used financial contributions from his supporters to foot the bill. Can you think about this for a minute? Imagine that you donated to this man's campaign and you found out that your donation went to a foundation for a man. I'm just saying. He spent that much money. I just can't.
I thought I was donating to a foundation. You mean I was buying foundation?
Yeah. And then so some of his supporters are going, well, his expenditures are supporting black and woman-owned businesses. $40,000, y'all. That's insane for a man to spend on makeup. It's insane to say that a man has spent money on makeup. I mean, I get for TV, they touch you up and they do that stuff. Although, can I just say, sidebar real quick? This is when I was a CNN, I was the token conservative back in the day when I was like the only conservative there besides Ari Fleischer. And we did, it was a debate, something debate. It was like a Republican primary or something that CNN was hosting. And Herman Cain was there. And they were going to put a bunch of makeup on Herman Cain because apparently like he was super shiny or something. And he just stopped and looked at them. And as they reached over to him, his head leaned away as they were. And I was in the makeup room when this was happening. He was like, nope. And then they finally were like, oh, Mr. Cain, you know, can we? And he did relent. But it was hysterical. He walked in there and was like, yeah, I don't think you're going to be doing that. He's like, I'm not doing a commercial. And they're like, well, you are on television. And, you know, it was a riot. But this guy, the mayor of Chicago, $40,000. I tell you what, we got a lot more. Huh? Yeah.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's like I've just say, and I've been saying that for years, actually. I said that, you know, I didn't leave the label. It left me on that.
Right.
And that really, after it happened on October 7th, I was really knew that that whole progressive stack would be blasted apart. And they're not going to be any kind of way how the Democrats are going to be able to reply to that kind of respond to that kind of. And I really decided early on that I believe that was going to be the right side with Israel throughout all of that. And I knew that would going to be Democrats would continue to peel away and kind of walk away from standing with Israel on that. But that's where I decided.
If Democrats were like Fetterman, if more Democrats, I mean, I don't agree with him on a lot of stuff, but there are certain things I agree with him on. And he doesn't get hysterical. Can't even believe I'm saying this stuff. He doesn't get hysterical about stuff. If more Democrats were like him, I think the country would, I can't believe I'm saying it, in a better place, because he's not a crazy nut job. They're not going to learn from him. They're going to Zell Miller him. They're going to keep him quiet. Scoop him under the rug. All right, today in Stupidity came where we got.
All right, Juan, this is Cut 27. This is a mentally ill man who once
to have a uterine implanted so that he can have
an abortion. Oh, this is so bad.
An abortion.
Oh, really?
He's the first trans woman to have a successful uterus transplant.
Yeah.
Ovaries and eggs included. And I want to be the first trans woman to have an abortion.
Okay. All right.
Oh, my gosh.
Is nobody in his life telling
him
he's mentally ill?
The Hunter Biden closing arguments are almost over, and it looks like, I don't know if the jury's going to wait till tomorrow, deliberate or not. We'll have that update for you. Have a great night. Find us on Substack. Like and subscribe as well, Facebook and YouTube. Back with you behind the mic tomorrow.